1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Yes, that's right. It is 1900 UTC on a beautiful Thursday, September the 21st, 2023. It's currently 34 degrees with high of 35 here in Austin, Texas. And you're listening to a non-radio, which is powered by SDF. And so SDF, well, if you didn't know, that's powered by you. So thank you for being here, hanging out, listening, and hope you're having a pretty great day. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to SDF and hang out, sdf.org. If you don't have an account yet, you can set one up by just SSHing as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you can follow the prompt there. It's a lot of fun, and it's a fun little retro system. The largest installation of OpenBSD, I think. So it is a cool and fun place to be. There's also a lot of anything you can do with computers is what SDF's about. So check it out. It's a 501(c)(7) or 3C. It's a nonprofit. So you can feel good giving them money. Just drinking a little bit of water before we get going. Anyway, once you get connected, all you gotta do is launch com, C-O-M, press enter, and then type G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll land in the Anon Radio room, hanging out with 64 other souls, or at least 64 other terminals, I guess we could say. Stug's in the house, of course, Ratsu, the Z-Man Zoerhoff is here. Lols was hanging out. I'm guessing he was being annoying because he was muted by the Z-Man and Jeff. Let's see, WX Boss is in the house. Welcome back. Good to see you. Welcome to the community. Seeing you around for a bit there. Just shout out to everyone. Probably X1 will probably wake up and arrive here shortly, as well as Jazmez, who's always listening somewhere. And SMJ, we hope you're having a good time. We miss you. Hope to see you around again sometime soon. There's adequate amount of news. Not as much death and destruction as there was the last few days, which I think is good, because it lets us talk about some more bizarre news stories that have been happening. But we'll go ahead and start the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, world news. Sorry, I'm going to just do a little housekeeping. Did I say Ratsu? I hope I did. Shout out to Ratsu, too. WX Boss and the Z-Man. Oh, my bad. Oh, and Jay LaMoth. I haven't seen him, but if you want to... if you want to talk in Jabber XMPP, you can. The room is anonradio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. Okay, let's get into it. Bow, 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 bow. Poland has said they're no longer supplying weapons to Ukraine amid a grain row. All right, who would have thought? Please keep giving us millions and millions of dollars of weapons for free. But no, we're not going to sell you any grain. One of Ukraine's staunchest allies of Poland has said it's no longer supplying weapons to its neighbor amid a diplomatic dispute over Kyiv's grain exports. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki said Poland's focus was instead on defending itself with more modern weapons. But the country's president later said the comments had been misinterpreted in the worst possible way. Andrzej Duda said it was only... new Polish weapons that would not be sent. Poland has already sent Ukraine 320 Soviet-era tanks and 14 MiG-29 fighter jets, and has little more to offer. However, the remarks coincided with high intentions between the two neighbors. On Tuesday, Poland summoned Ukraine's ambassador over comments made by President Zelensky at the UN after Poland, Hungary, and Slovakia extended a ban on Ukrainian grain. Mr. Zelensky said it was alarming how some of Ukraine's friends in Europe were playing out solidarity in a political theater. Warsaw denounced his words as unjustified concerning Poland, which has supported Ukraine since the first days of the war. We are no longer transferring weapons to Ukraine because we're now arming Poland with more modern weapons, the Prime Minister added. He was adamant Poland was helping Ukraine defeat the Russian barbarian by maintaining a military hub, but would not agree to Poland's markets being destabilized by grain imports, Polish state news agency PAP reported. So that's what's going on there. Just a little bit of a misunderstanding. Ukraine is in a fight for its life, so its demands on its friends and neighbors are kind of getting a bit strained as time goes on. India has suspended visas for Canadians as the row between the two countries has escalated. India stopped issuing visas to Canadian citizens amid an escalating row over the killing of a Sikh separatist on Canadian soil. India said the temporary move was due to security threats disrupting work at its missions in Canada. Tensions flared this week after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said India may have been behind the June 18th killing, but Mr. Trudeau said on Thursday he was not looking to provoke India with the allegation. Zohorov coming in with some news about Poland. My understanding is Poland is trying to prop up grain prices ahead of elections. You know, it makes sense. It's like you can't force people to buy your grain, especially it's like, hey, we need to sell this. It's like, no, we have our own internal economy we're trying to keep going. But could be wrong. I've been wrong in the past. Could be wrong this, but it's good information. Thanks, Z-Man. Tensions flared this week. Speaking to reporters in New York, on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, Mr. Trudeau said there's no question that India is a country of growing importance and a country we need to continue to work with. He said Canada was not looking to provoke India or cause problems with the allegation, but is unequivocal about the importance of the rule of law in protecting Canadians. Hey, X1, welcome. India is looking for parity in rank and diplomatic strength between the diplomatic missions of the two countries. It's being sought because Canadian diplomatic interference in our internal affairs. That's what the Indian representative said. You may remember there was the G20 summit in India not too long ago. Trudeau's plane broke down and he got stuck there and they made fun of him for it. Apparently he brought this issue up to Modi during the hallway conversation, and it did not seem like India felt any connection to it at all. So, depending on whose side you hear the story, it sounds a little bit different. But the two countries are feuding, and hopefully they'll get it all settled down. In South Korea, this is by far the most surprising story for me, I think, today. South Korea has raided U.S. military bases. Almost nobody in the world is willing to mess with the U.S. military industrial complex, make so much money, and they have so many bombs. But South Korean police are investigating 17 U.S. soldiers and 5 other people who smuggled or used synthetic marijuana in military mail. This follows raids in at least 2 U.S. Army bases in May, including Camp Humphreys, its largest overseas base. A Filipino and South Korean have been arrested, while prosecutors review the cases against 22 suspects. So, kind of a surprise there. It's called K2 or Spice sometimes, but it's a synthetic marijuana. Not good stuff. 7 people, including 5 soldiers, are thought to have been involved in the sale of the drugs. 12 were users and 3 acted as middlemen. A soldier's spouse and another soldier's fiancé are also involved, the police told the BBC. 17 soldiers are currently stationed at Camp Humphreys, about 48 kilometers south of the capital. And at Camp Casey, an army outpost about 40 kilometers north of Seoul. They allegedly distributed the drugs on bases while communicating via Snapchat. United States Forces Korea said on Wednesday that it was aware of the investigation. No soldiers are currently in confinement or being detained. I just was like, wow. It blows my mind that even if we have an army base somewhere, it blows my mind that the hosting country of the army base had the cojones, to go on to the military base and arrest people for drugs. X1 pointing out, marijuana is an odd molecule, or is it the marketing calling it that way? it's a brand name, K2. Yeah, spice isn't a synthetic thing. It's supposed to mimic THC. It's not quite the same. In Austin, in the United States, we had a bad run of it. It was very popular for a little while in Texas, maybe the country, but at least in Texas for sure. And the problem was is that if you smoke too much of it, the homeless guys would just freeze. Like, they'd smoke too much of it, and they'd be walking down the street, and then they would just stop. Like like the Speaker of the House, the Republican guy who keeps freezing up, McConnell. It was like that. They'd be walking along, and then they'd just freeze, or they'd be mid-sentence, and they'd just stop. And they'd be frozen like that for a couple minutes or longer until eventually they'd snap out of it. Let's see. Jay Lamoth is in the house. Gerbil Fats here. Welcome, welcome. Tobe's in the house. Hello. That reminds me, in 20 minutes or so from now at 19:30 UTC, right here on Anon Radio, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up, so stick around for that. And as always, remember the spice must flow, apparently. In South Korea, those convicted of trafficking marijuana face 5 years to life in prison. Drug possession carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison or a fine of 50 million won, which is $37,000. So that's what's going on there in South Korea. Don't worry, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the U.S. too. A sheriff says 9 deputies charged in the death of a man beaten to death in jail. 9 Memphis jail deputies have been indicted in the death of a black man who was having a psychotic episode and died in custody last fall after the jailers punched, kicked, and kneeled on his back during a confrontation. Shelby County Sheriff Floyd Bonner, who oversees the jail where the 33-year-old man was beaten, disclosed the existence of the indictments during a news conference Wednesday, but declined to offer more details, including the names of the deputies or the charges they face. The AP was unable to obtain the indictments late Wednesday, but lawyers for Freeman's family in a wrongful death suit against Bonner said the indictments were sealed. They declined to name the jailers and the charges, only saying they are serious. Nashville District Attorney released video in March of Freeman at the Shelby County Jail. So, he was beaten up a lot. One of the sad things, or byproducts, I guess, is that in the United States, since we don't have comprehensive or any real public health facilities or mechanisms, anyone who's mentally ill, who can't, who's on the streets, often finds themselves, well, if you're mentally ill, a lot of times you find yourself on the streets. And then if you're not lucky, if you're lucky enough to not die or starve to death, you may find yourself in jail. Because being poor is also a crime in the U.S. And so then if you're in jail, you end up at the biggest state hospital in the country, at least in Texas, the biggest state hospital. And that's the Harris County lockup. So anyway, yep, X1, you're on board, right? it's not marijuana, it's spicy K2. All right, well, enough ranting and raving. Let's talk about Venezuela. We got 2 stories out of Venezuela for you. First, Venezuela says it's regained control of a notorious jail, which had been under the control of a powerful Tren de Aragua criminal gang. 11,000 security personnel were deployed to the prison, which had been run by inmates for years. Prisoners were able to roam freely inside the penitentiary, which had hotel-like facilities, including a pool, a nightclub, and a mini-zoo. The interior minister said the jail would be completely cleared. Torcoron, as it was called, not only held convicted criminals, but also some of their partners and relatives, who moved into the penitentiary to be near their loved ones. One woman, Gladys Hernandez, told AFP News Agency that she was waiting to hear where they were taking her husband. "I was living in there, but they kicked us out," she said. The jail doubled as the headquarters of the Tren de Aragua, Venezuela's most powerful drug transnational gang. From the jail, Tren de Aragua ruled a criminal enterprise spanning several Latin American countries, reaching as far as Chile. Its members engage in human trafficking, prostitution rings, and extorting migrants. The gang fitted the prison out with all kinds of facilities, like game rooms and a small zoo with flamingos and an ostrich. Pretty wild. They have a baseball field. Hold on, I'm going to see. Let's see if this image shows up if I link it in comm. Resort jail. All right. If you go to sdf.org/L, that's like Lima, /19U. sdf.org/L/19U. sdf.org/Lima/19Uniform. That will take you to an image showing where the children's play area was, the play blocks, the shacks, the baseball field, and where the stables and the mini zoo were. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. So yeah. And don't worry, X1. Once you're in prison, you can be used as a slave in the United States. So it's easy to keep those people in line. It's as sad as it is. But that's not enough labor for the U.S. Venezuelans seeking asylum in the U.S. who already are living in the country are now allowed to work legally under new rules announced by the Biden administration. About 472,000 people will be eligible for Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, for a period of 18 months. It follows calls by Democrats to expand work access for newly arrived migrants. U.S. cities have been grappling with large numbers of people fleeing economic and political turmoil. People must have been living in the U.S. on or before July 31st to be eligible for temporary deportation relief and access to work permits. If granted, they will be allowed to work while they wait for an asylum determination to be made. All right, let's get into the more wilder death stories now. This sounds terrible. A ride-sharing driver in Petaling Jaya was found dead, reduced just to skin and bone, after his landlord allegedly locked him up in his condo unit for failing to pay 3 months' rent. The amendment to the Constitution that bans slavery says unless you're in jail. So if you're in jail, you can be forced to work. And you can be compelled to. And so there's a lot of forced labor in the U.S. Like, they work in call centers, they build furniture, they build all sorts of stuff. It's interesting, but it's also scary. It's like, oh, I really don't want to go to jail now. The man in Petaling Jaya, who was found dead, this is in Singapore, the man, who is said to be of Chinese origin, in his 40s, was found dead in late July by a neighbor. His family is now suing the landlord. Their lawyer says that the landlord had the condo unit's door chained closed because her tenant had not paid rent for about 3 months. The man was inside and unable to seek help, as he had no money to top up his phone. But the landlord said she thought the tenant had already left the unit when she had the door chained. She didn't get somebody to open the door to check whether the tenant might be still inside, but she did try calling the tenant 30 times to check up on him. Since he wasn't answering, she left it at that. Oh no, this is like a nightmare. You don't pay rent, you don't have any money, you're just hanging out inside your house. The landlord chains the door shut and you're just stuck inside. Her defense is that there are many people who are passing by who would have heard him shouting for help, and there are balconies balconies in the living room and the kitchen, and they're near the adjoining unit. The police chief said an autopsy showed the tenant died of a heart attack, not starvation. The case is still classified as a sudden death. So landlords, just in general, they're warning the public, do not lock or chain, don't detain tenants who are behind on their rents. If the tenant defaults on rent, the landlord can obtain a court order through the court or deal with it through small claims court. But don't lock them out. So yeah, please don't kill. If you are a landlord, reflect on what you're doing and how you're harming the world. But also, don't lock your tenants inside the house. A moose has attacked a woman. A moose charges, headbutts, and stomps on a woman who is walking her dog in Colorado. A woman walking her dog on a wooded trail in Colorado's Rocky Mountains spooked a cow moose Wednesday, and it charged, headbutting the hiker and stomping on her before she escaped back down the trail. Authorities said the woman was taken to a hospital, but they declined to provide information on her injuries or condition. They said the moose had stomped on her several times and that the dog had minor injuries. The moose attack occurred just west of Boulder and was the third in Boulder County this year. Kara Van Hoos is a spokesperson for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and she added fatal encounters are rare. If a moose thinks a dog is a threat, it's going to react to it, and that's normal for a moose, she said. Wildlife officers couldn't find the moose, but posted signs warning hikers about the potential animal, aggressive animal. So, moose are huge. They are scary. They're one of the animals that are scary big. Like, when you're driving your car, they're bigger than your car. And so it's like, oh no, you don't want one of those coming at you. This is a weird and tragic and sad death. This man has died on his, I guess, doing what he loves. A hawker died in Malaysia on Wednesday after he fainted and fell face first into his wok of boiling oil. The tragic incident took place at a food court in Kuala Kangsar town, 25 kilometers northwest of Perak's capital of Ipoh. Malaysia's Chinese newspaper, Sinchu Daily, identified the man as Mr. Liu Yukai, who is well known for his reasonably priced chicken chop rice, as well as his daily attire of a vest and wooden clogs. Mr. Liu suffered severe burns on his face, chest, and back. The 58-year-old was alive when he was rushed to the hospital, but died 90 minutes later. His older brother said the younger man had had high blood pressure for years. He'd advised him to rest more and take care of his health, but the hawker wouldn't do so as he was a workaholic. He worked 6 days a week, and even on Mondays when the stall was closed, he would come back and prepare ingredients for the dishes. Other hawkers who had worked alongside Mr. Liu paid tribute to him, saying that his $2.90 Singapore 290 renminbi 10, or whatever their currency is, RM10, chicken chop rice had attracted patrons far and wide. He was known as a cheerful person and an animal lover who took in stray dogs at his home and spent on average $200 a month on their food. On top of that, he would cook a large pot of rice with sweet potatoes every day to feed the strays near the food mart. So, wow. Yeah, moose are prehistoric, checking in on com. But what a way to die. What a terrible way to die. Falling. So anyway, take care of yourselves. And don't lose your leg. Someone lost a leg here in the United States, in New York City to be exact. An investigation's been launched after a human leg was found sticking out of a dumpster in a bank near a bank in New York City. The severed body part was seen protruding from a red dumpster outside a TD Bank in Queens on Wednesday. New York Police Department officers who were called to the scene at 164th Street in Hillcrest around 6:30 p.m. when one of the bank's cleaners took the trash out and spotted it. Tratsuit says legs are handy. Arms are handy too. Unconfirmed reports online suggest that maggots were found over the leg, which is likely to have been in the bin for up to 9 days in between rubbish collection cycles. Ew. The New York Police Department has asked for local home and business owners to send in security footage from the scene as they investigate the reports that the limb may have been dumped on September 11th. She said, before you could see it, you could smell it. They added construction workers on a nearby building site had caught a whiff of the smell and had also made complaints to the police prior to the discovery. So that's all they know right now. It stank to high heaven and they found a leg in there. Now, this is just sad. Jay LaMoth. I didn't realize they had Toronto Dominion Bank in the U.S. Let's go here. TD Bank. Well, in New York City, it wouldn't be a big surprise. Toronto's not that far away. But let's see. TD Bank. Let's see if we can find their proper name. Security about us. Let's see if we can find Toronto anywhere. No mention of Toronto on their site. It probably is, but it's TD Bank NA. All rights reserved. So I don't know. What's the name of it? So this is frustrating. So let's talk about it. The number of babies in Mississippi born with syphilis have grown tenfold in the last 8 years. The number of babies born with syphilis in Mississippi has increased more than tenfold since 2016, amid U.S.-wide growth in cases of the potentially fatal but entirely preventable disease. Rates of congenital syphilis, which occur when a mother transmits the infection to the fetus, have more than doubled over the past 5 years, with the largest spikes in southern and western states. In Mississippi, the number of newborns hospitalized with congenital syphilis surged between 2016 and 2022 from 10 to 110. Premature birth and very low birth weight were significantly high among infants with syphilis, and at least 6 babies died, half of them in 2022. 9 out of the 10 infected infants were insured by Medicaid, not private health insurance. Medicaid's a public insurance. Public health insurance for health care for those who can't afford it. More than 70% of the babies hospitalized were Black. A complex mix of poverty, racism, inadequate public health services, and untreated addictions are contributing to the troubling spike, according to the study authors. So, wow. Really bad. Yeah. So, yeah. Syphilis causing trouble in Mississippi and just around in the South. Speaking of babies, though, the brain circuit that causes the sound of a newborn baby crying to trigger the release of breast milk in mothers has been uncovered. The study in mice gives fresh insights into the sophisticated changes that occur in the brain during pregnancy and parenthood. It found that 30 seconds of continuous crying by mouse pups triggered the release of oxytocin, the brain chemical that controls the breast milk release response in mothers. Our findings uncover how a crying infant primes its mother's brain to ready her body for nursing. A graduate student at NYU and co-author of the study is quoted as saying, "Without such preparation, there's a delay of several minutes between suckling and milk flow, potentially leading to a frustrated baby and stressed parent." The study showed that once prompted, the surge of hormones continued for roughly 5 minutes before tapering off. The observation that a mother's breasts can leak when they hear a big crying baby is not new, but the latest research, and this is the first to identify the brain mechanism behind what they describe as the whale-to-milk pipeline. So, pretty interesting. Jay LaMoth checking out the logo. Yep. Toronto Dominion Bank is the TD Bank we were talking about earlier. Let's keep talking about, I think I have one more death story I wanted to mention. Oh, this is a story coming out of Georgetown, Texas, which is is just a suburb north of here. It goes Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown, as far as like the suburbs going north. A 6-year-old boy is in critical condition after he's beaten with a baseball bat by his neighbor. The Williamson County Sheriff's Office said the 39-year-old Daniel Logan randomly broke into his neighbor home on September 11th and attacked little Jeremy inside. An arrest affidavit obtained by the local newspaper said the suspect had managed to enter Jeremy's house through the back door and made his way upstairs. There he found the 6-year-old, who he hit in the head, causing multiple fractures to the skull. The suspect allegedly attacked his own mother, hitting her in the face with a bat, after she followed him into the house and begged him to stop. Mr. Logan's wife told investigators she heard loud banging and saw her mother-in-law emerge from the neighbor's home covered in blood. She said her mother-in-law frantically screamed that Daniel was killing everyone inside. Deputies responded to the scene around 5 a.m. that morning and arrested Mr. Logan. He's charged with aggravated assault and injuring a child with a deadly weapon. So, yeah. Quentin, shout out. Hello, welcome. Wailing and gnashing of the teat. That is actually a great way to put breastfeeding. Wailing and gnashing of the teat. But yeah, don't attack your neighbors with a baseball bat, especially not children. It's not cool. We've got about 2 minutes left before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Of course, don't forget, you can always press the equal sign in com or go to anonradio.net to see the other shows coming up, like Flux from DJ Stug at 20 hours and Language Soup at 2100, followed by Pumpkin Pie at 2200 and the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix at 2300. That one of the best and more fun shows on and on radio if you like electronic music. So do all of that. And oh, of course, and then Cavalcade Audio Hour and Myosite. Man, action-packed stuff from now until 0200 UTC. So listen to Anon Radio until then. The last story I'll tell you is... Oh, I guess I won't. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
It's time for the dubious goal.